This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Anna.
Hello, Alistair. As you know, I've been working here for over a year.
Well, you are an invaluable part of our operation.
Which, I recently learned, means very valuable as opposed to not at all valuable. And I wanted to let you know that my circumstances have changed and I can no longer afford to work for free.
If you think you have just nothing left to learn from us...
No, it is not that, really. I just, you know, gotta eat.
Well, when you get hungry enough, you're gonna figure it out.
So, that's a scene from the HBO TV series Girls. The character played by Lena Dunham, Hannah, is unceremoniously let go from her unpaid internship after she dared ask her boss to be paid.
The college internship is a time-honored way to try to get a foot in the door to the professional world and build a career. And the Boston area is rich with eager interns. There are about 250,000 undergraduates within 50 square miles.
But the unpaid internship has been taking a hit recently with a raft of lawsuits against companies such as Fox Searchlight Pictures and publishing house Condé Nast.
Here now to talk about the rise and maybe even the fall of the unpaid internship is Professor David Yamada from Suffolk University Law School. He is the director of the university's New Workplace Institute and co-director of the Labor and Employment Law Concentration. David, thanks for being here.
Lisa and Anthony, thanks for having me on the show.
Also here, Maria Stein. She's the Associate Vice President of Cooperative Education and Career Development at Northeastern University. Thank you, Maria, as well.
Thank you.
Now, listeners, we know you're out there. We're looking forward to hearing from you, and we'd like to put a special call out to interns who are out there and those who have supervised interns as well. We'd like to hear about your experience, whether the internship was paid, unpaid. For the interns themselves, maybe it was an investment in your career. Maybe it was a waste of time. We want to hear all experiences. So give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. WBUR itself hires interns, both paid and unpaid. New England, of course, is a college country and a college area, and there are thousands of interns in fields public and private here. David Yamada, I know it wasn't always that way, though. When did the internship as an entity become popular, and what were the circumstances that led it to happen?
I think over the last three decades, we have seen internship experience become more or less expected as a way of getting a foot in the door of certain professions and vocations. And along with that has come a lot of unpaid internships as part of that mix.
Unpaid internships and more than paid internships?
It's hard to say. The ballpark guesses suggest that maybe half the internships out there are unpaid, but there's no central repository of information about that. So it really is just a guesstimate.
Do you know how far back they go, though? I mean, when did they start becoming really popular?
Oh, I think if you look back into the 1970s and especially into the heart of the 1980s, unpaid internships started to become an almost expected intermediate step between schooling in the classroom and full-time entry-level employment.
What was going on with the economy at the time? What led to it?
Well, I think part of it was the fact that more and more employers devoted less and less attention to training and said, you know what, we can get interns for less money or for nothing, give them a spin around the block, we can get some free labor at the same time, and we can assess their suitability for future employment. And it became a growing and growing kind of system where it almost, as I said, became the sort of intermediate step between schooling and full-time employment.
Right, so it used to be that entry-level work was minimum wage work. You got paid a low wage, but you got paid something, and then perhaps you worked your way up in the organization. What's the difference between that and an entry-level internship?
Well, the entry-level internship oftentimes is unpaid. And that's where some of the legal issues that you mentioned during your introductions here are coming into play now.
Okay. I want to get to those legal issues in just a minute. But first, Maria, let's talk to you and the experience that you have from Northeastern. There are a variety of ways for students at Northeastern to work in their prospective fields. I know, of course, there's the co-op program, which is very much integrated in the academics of the university. Has the experience of a college internship changed over the years as far as you can see?
Our co-ops have changed over the years. And you know, from our perspective, co-op is similar to an internship, except that co-op is full-time and is traditionally paid. And it is that entry into the student's chosen profession. And it is an opportunity for the student to really take the theory that they're learning into the classroom
And the students are getting college credit.
The students right. do not get academic credit, and they do not pay tuition while they're on co-op.
Ah, so they are paid, but they're not paying into the,
Correct.
Into the college.
So the employer typically pays our students, but they don't pay the institution while they're on co-op.
So how many of your students have that kind of internship versus an unpaid internship?
So if you look at an academic year, and we'll take the 2012-2013, we had about 8,000 students participate in our co-op program.
And what percent is that, do you know?
So our undergraduate student body is about 16,000, 16,500.
Okay, so the majority are paid. I was going to say well paid.
Yes,
but the majority are paid.
There are fields that are not paid. So if you look at that 8,000, there's about 10% that are going to do an unpaid mm-hmm. experience. And typically, if it's unpaid, it's not going to be full time. And we're working with employers to really move the bar on that because we don't want students to be working and not getting paid.
Is there not an argument, though, for students to have an internship that is unpaid? Of course, in part, it depends on what the responsibilities are for an intern. But is there ever a case that you can see where you would recommend a Northeastern student take an unpaid internship?
So my really favorite example to use is the White House internship program.
Which is really competitive.
It's very competitive, it's full-time, and it's not paid. For any student who aspires to any sort of political career, they're going to learn more about that field. They're going to make more connections than any other experience that we could develop that would pay. So if the federal government changes their mind and starts paying, we can't duplicate that experience for our students in the U.S. Because it's working. We had a student in the fall that worked for the First Lady. There's no other experience that we could have duplicated.
Aim a little lower. Maybe for something that might be a little closer to home and a little bit more within reach of students who may want to take an unpaid internship.
You know, there's always, I think, politics, anything in the political arena, when you look at state, federal, any local government, most of those opportunities are typically not paid.
And nonprofit organizations.
Nonprofits, we're having success with more and more of them being able to pay. But sometimes it's just not in their operating budget, and their goal is to put as much of their money out to their cause. So, again, the student has to be really passionate about that as their chosen field. For us, it has to be relevant to the student's career interests and their long-term career goals and an opportunity to learn.
Which means that you have to be supervising what they're doing on the internship.
We're working very closely with the employers. We're paying very close attention to the job descriptions. We're in communications with the students. Students are doing reflections, kind of really thinking about what they're learning, how it really connects back to what they're learning in the classroom. How is it they're helping them really build their professional career?
David Yamada, in your view, is there ever an exception to the rule that I believe is your rule that internships should always be paid?
Well, the Federal Department of Labor has issued guidelines which stipulate when an employer is exempt from the minimum wage for paying their interns in the private
minimum
sector.
Minimum wage, meaning they can pay zero.
Yeah, they can pay zero. In other words, zero, yes. And by and large, the employer would have to show that they are receiving no immediate advantage from the intern's work, which means the intern is basically sitting there like right. a houseplant.
Meaning it's okay for them to go, well, I guess coffee is an advantage. But
coffee would be considered an advantage, because the other factor that is key here is, does the internship work replace labor that otherwise would have to be compensated? So even that intern who's running out for coffee or doing the lunch order is doing work that somebody else would have to do if that free unpaid intern wasn't there to do the work.
Well, that doesn't leave a lot of room, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think the key thing here is that slapping the label of intern on actual work should not replace an obligation to pay someone, at least in the private sector and ideally in any sector.
I want to go to some calls. We have a lot of callers on the line, but just one more thing on that. So is there any room in your world for an internship as as we know it, for someone who maybe shadows someone doing a job they might want to do someday?
Yeah, I think the kinds of internship experiences that high school students might have where they follow someone around for a couple of weeks and really don't contribute anything to the organization but learn a lot would be in that category that would probably fall into that exemption.
Okay, let's take a couple of phone calls. Why don't we go to Ashley calling in now from Salem. Ashley?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So I've had a very positive experience with my internship. I'm still an undergrad, but I started off at a really small museum and nonprofit up in the North Shore. I started out unpaid. They kept me on a trial basis. I proved my worth. They paid me a stipend, and I appealed for more money and now I'm making minimum wage, but it's better than nothing.
So you have a job that came out of it?
Sort of. I'm still labeled an intern because I am an undergrad, but out of this experience, I've made so many connections that I feel I will be able to get a real paying adult job upon graduation.
Although that's not a guarantee, right?
No, it's not, but I feel pretty confident in that.
Okay, so you feel as though it's been a pretty good investment, Ashley, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to line two now. Alex is calling, and he is or was Alex a student at Northeastern?
I am a student currently at Northeastern. I just got off of co-op.
Okay, what's your experience been like?
So I'm part of the music department there, and so I did an unpaid part-time internship, and it was rewarding in the fact that I made several connections, and I learned a lot about the portion of the industry I want to be in. However, it was incredibly emotionally taxing because I ended up working 7 days a week for 6 months. So that made things pretty difficult.
And that, yeah, I just heard you respond to that, Maria, that's the kind of thing that I assume you don't want to hear.
No, it's not the kind of thing I want to hear. We really work with our students who are doing unpaid experiences to not do them full time, to really kind of do them for 20 hours a week at most and be able to supplement that.
And is there not that kind of communication that would go on between a student like Alex and you then? Or not you necessarily, but Northeastern?
I hopefully...
It should be.
Alex should have heard that message from his co-op coordinator, but maybe I'm mistaken.
We have Megan wrote in on Facebook an interesting comment. Should we be concerned about the millions of lower income students who cannot afford to work for free?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't want this to be a barrier into the professional world for a young up-and-coming person, which is, you know, I think why so many of us are paying such close attention to unpaid internships and really looking at how do we work with companies, nonprofits, huge public and private organizations so that we can get our students' salaries while they're working for these experiences.
David?
Maria cited the example of the unpaid White House internships. I would guess that a lot of students who cannot afford to go to Washington, D.C. and work for free self-select by not even applying for that internship, even if they might have a fighting chance to get it. And that's one of the real injustices about this plethora of unpaid internships, is the fact that those who don't come from means oftentimes have to find ways to, fill their stomachs, pay the rent, and otherwise get to and from work without any money behind that internship experience.
Yeah. Although I think in those types of situations, I'm seeing more and more colleges and universities really coming up with scholarships to really help students get those opportunities. So it's not just opportunities to students who have the means to do that. So we're trying at least to level the playing field so that if I didn't have the money, I could still apply because there's a scholarship that the institution is putting on the table for me.
All right, let's come back to the phones. Bill is calling in from Gloucester now. This is line one. Bill?
Hi there. I just want to say, I'm 47 years old. I went to college in the 1980s, and I just want to say my intern experience was huge in terms of not only, a positive experience, but it was, as I look back, it was a real good platform to really get my career off the ground. And coming out of the gate, I was way ahead from a lot of people doing what I wanted to do, which at the time was journalism and, news reporting.
And are you still in journalism now?
Well, I did last in journalism for a while. I then went to the dark side of public relations, over PR. and now have transitioned. I'm on the client side and now a marketing director.
So you think basically that you wouldn't have the jobs you've had if it hadn't been for the internships?
Yeah, I think it would have been a harder fight. You know, I was able to get some clips, you know, have some bylines and basically apply for those entry-level jobs. And the first one out of school for me was a cruise ship, and I was editor of the daily newspaper. Then that got me, you know, when I got off that, then that got me some freelance work, you know, with some of the local papers. And, you know, it just grows from there. And then finally, you know, a full-time job. But I do remember, you know, coming back and being in my middle 20s, and there was an opportunity to be an intern for, I was poking around the ad agencies, and I could have gotten into the ad agencies by taking an unpaid internship, but, you know, at the time I was married and wanted to have kids.
Right, right. It all figures into the equation. We have so many more phone calls, and I'm sorry we can't get to them all, but thank you all for calling and for writing. A lot of good points, which may lead to another discussion later on. Just very briefly for both of you before we say goodbye, the legalities right now, it is legal for an intern to not be paid for work. Are there any current lawsuits in our area right now?
Not that I know of in the Boston area, but there are pending lawsuits in federal court in New York State, which will have a big impact on this issue.
Okay, thank you very much. David Yamada, professor of law and the director of the New Workplace Institute at Suffolk University. And thanks, too, to Maria Stein, associate vice president of Northeastern University's Cooperative Education and Career Department. Nice to have you both here, and thanks to all our listeners for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm Lisa Mullins with Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston.